want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, yes, I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a windy tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to get the information, asking for what blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges. Flying co-pilot with me at the moment, if we can keep her on board here, we're having some technical issues, is Katie Whalen, our health reporter, who will be with us in the third hour, and she'll be followed by Ted Brewer. Our thanks to Bob Griswold for joining us for that hour of upsetting, but I think very needed information on how to survive unexpected attacks, how to increase your personal security. Good stuff. And again, Bob's website is readymaderesources.com, and I'd encourage you to visit there. Our guest for this hour, we're going to talk about a couple of things. One is technocracy, and he's written a great book called Technocracy Rising. And we're also going to be talking about the importance of getting off the couch and being an activist and what are the consequences if we don't. So join me in welcoming my friend Pat Wood to the Common Sense Show. Hi, Pat. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, we've had you on a couple of times to talk about your book, which I read twice. And just checking in with you here. How are the sales going? Are people relating to the book? Are they saying, hey, this is not good, we got to do something? What's been the reaction?
Well, there's two things to put out on this. Number one, whenever people actually read the book, their eyeballs pop out. And I routinely get emails saying, well, thank you, of course, but basically, they get it for the first time. They see the whole picture of what's mm-hmm. going on in the world for the first time. And I'm glad to see that kind of reaction to readers. On the other hand, it's difficult to get people to read a book. Either the material is scary or they don't want to be held accountable to it. I'm not really sure. I never quite figured that all out. But would that I had 100,000 readers by now. It's been almost, 9 months now the book's been out. And it has been selling steadily. But, we got 350 plus million people in the country. It's a lot of people that need to, we got to get a bigger swath of people to actually read this book and find out who the enemy of our country really is.
Well, just for reference here, and actually I had someone go and grab a pencil over the break who sent me an email and say, please give out Bob Griswold's website again. Well, let's give out your website, too, where people can get a copy of this book.
Well, sure. Of course, you can always go to Amazon.com and just search for Patrick Wood or Technocracy or Technocracy Rising. You'll find it there and a Kindle version as well. And if you go to TechnocracyRising.com, which is the book website, you'll find additional information there. Plus, you can buy a book directly from me as well.
Okay, and how do they do that?
Well, it's just a button to click right on the front, buy a book.
That's it. Well, some of our listening audience may not be that technologically adept. Sometimes you should see some of the questions I get about how to listen to the show, which, by the way, if you're not listening to it that way, you can go to the website, thecommonsenseshow.com, click listen to Dave live at the top right, and you're there, live streamed. Hagmans are there, Ted Brewer's there, so you can catch all our shows right there on the Common Sense Show. But anyway, we've got a mess going on this planet. I saw it today, in fact, actually Ted Brewer sent me the link for this, Pat. It said that the third world, and I heard Obama wanted to do this when he first came into office, The third world is demanding billions of dollars in reparations caused by climate change damage from first world countries. Are you aware of that?
I am. I've been following that story for some time. I'm not convinced that that actually comes from the third world itself.
I agree.
But nevertheless, that's the charge that's being made right now.
Yeah, it's the case of they're trying to couch this as the big guy picking on the little guy.
Yeah.
And but that's not where it's coming from. It's coming from the people who are going to make money on it. You know, there's an area, too, that we really haven't explored in great depth and detail. We've talked about before when you've been on about how these programs are going to affect us and our daily consumption. But who is really getting rich off this? There's got to be money behind this.
Well, there's lots of money changing hands right now, for sure, with all the movement towards everything green, sustainable development. You know, so certain technology companies, certain people like Al Gore, they're making billions, if not trillions, off of this transfer of economy, if you will. But in the end of it, it's not just about money is the thing. It's about resources. And the more I study technocracy, which is sustainable development, Agenda 21, et cetera, the more I see that it's really a scam to twist the key resources of the world out of the hands of individuals and even nations and put those resources into a global trust that will be managed by a very few people, probably the same people that are putting forward the whole scam in the first place. And at some point in the future, according to the original technocracy doctrine or model, money itself will be done away with, and some type of energy credit will be supplanted. And, you know, the United Nations now has said pointedly earlier this year that they intend to destroy capitalism and free enterprise. That's a sea change event, but I mean, they've laid it, they just flat out laid it out now. And in my mind, as one that has an economic background, these are words of war. That's out and out economic warfare. Because you have technocracy fighting against capitalism and free enterprise. You've got, you know, the whole Western world based on free enterprise and capitalism fighting against the United Nations who want to implement the system of technocracy. This is nothing short of economic war. Probably going to end up being a shooting war at some point, too. But
you mean to enforce compliance, do you think?
No, just, you know, as the dislocations get more difficult to navigate, what's left of nation states get very testy. And trying to defend their own turf, their own economic turf, historically, situations like this have always led to physical warfare as well. And that's nothing new. That's not a revelation from, you know, from last night over a bad bell pepper. This has been the case throughout history. When goods don't flow, so to speak, military equipment does. And so, you know, we see the rudimentary signs of this now. For instance, China is having a terrible time economically. They're imploding. They've had to devalue their currency again. They unpegged it from the dollar. They're spending their foreign exchange reserves like a drunken sailor to try and prop up their own currency. They're in a world of hurt. So they can't browbeat us and bluster us anymore with economic supremacy. So what do we see but Chinese Navy warships showing up in Alaska? Well, okay, they haven't shot anybody yet. But they're asserting their military strength now instead of their economic strength. We see Russia doing the same thing now, moving into Syria, putting troops and, you know, a forward base into Syria. This is a military advancement where they can't get economic satisfaction. They move out militarily. So, you know, this is nothing new in the history of the world. I think there's tons of examples of that. But it is unfortunate. But people look, economists look at the world today, Dave, and they go, what the heck is going on? Nothing makes sense anymore. The old formulas don't work anymore. Keynesian economics doesn't even make sense. Austrian economics doesn't even make sense. The price of gold doesn't make any sense. You know, everybody says it ought to be at 5,000. It's 1,100. Nothing makes sense to anybody. And the reason it doesn't make sense is because there are two economic systems fighting to the death in the global space, in the global economic space. There's capitalism and free enterprise versus technocracy.
Who's winning?
Right now, numerically, the United Nations is winning with technocracy, sustainable development, and Agenda 21. They seem to have all the cards at this point, and they're asserting themselves all over the world as well. We have, as you know, the Pope is coming to the United States on the 24th to visit Congress, first time in history a Pope has ever spoke to Congress. He's going to come here and present his encyclical on climate change, and he's going to beat up on capitalism to the U.S. Congress. I'm not sure that's going to be a real popular speech, but he's going to make it. And the next day, he's going to the United Nations to be the keynote speaker for the 2030 Agenda Conference that will convene on the 25th, where all the nations in the world are going to sign on to this new document called 2030 Agenda. I've read it word to word, word for word. It's amazing. But they're fully intent on doing this. They're trying to pull the big rabbit out of the hat.
Pat, is this a rehash of the Rio agreements from 1993?
It is very much, but you see, the Rio agreement that produced the Agenda 21 document, what that document was called, the long form, was the Agenda for the 21st Century. Now, the 21st century has 100 years in it, you know, so you look at it and say, well, okay, it's the agenda for the 21st century, and maybe by the end of, the century, they're going to have it done. But now they're saying, desperately so, that they're going to speed up the agenda to have it fully implemented by 2030. That's why it's called what it is called. And so, they're looking to reinvigorate the push towards sustainable development, and I think there's a number of reasons for this. The whole climate change meme that is falling apart right under their nose. Climate change has been the primary driver to panic people into sustainable development. Well, more and more skeptics are coming out. You know, I think the average guy on the street laughs when he hears, you know, global warming anymore. And this lever is falling apart on them, and I just have a feeling that they're rather desperate to get this whole sustainable development thing nailed down. And by the way, sustainable development is an economic term. I hope everybody recognizes that. It's not a political term. It's an economic term. And you might immediately ask, what the heck is United Nations doing with their nose stuck into economic issues? I thought it was United Nations for political stuff, you know, to keep nations apart from fighting whatever. Why are they the ones that have been chosen to bring forth this new economic child called sustainable development, which is purely economic?
Well, I tell you why the United Nations is behind this. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. How much money did Ted Turner, who owns CNN and all their affiliates, how much money did he give to the UN? And what was it? Was it $50 million? Warren Buffett donated about the same amount so they could start to procure nuclear weapons. I mean, the UN is the instrument of the elite. This is why.
Yes, it is. In fact, the United Nations sits on property that was originally donated by the Rockefeller family. Just interesting.
You wrote a book, Pat, and I've mentioned this many times in our past interviews, but I want to look for a correlation here. And the book was called Trilaterals Over Washington, and you co-authored that with the late Anthony Sutton. And it was a book that, as I've mentioned before, just captured my attention. I was enthralled with it. I basically destroyed the book from overuse. But I'm wondering now today, and I read this book, gosh, over 30 years ago, What's the correlation between what you discovered about how such a small amount of people own so much in this country and they were subverting the Constitution? That was my big takeaway from that book. How does that relate to what we're looking at today with technocracy?
This was their plan from day one. I honestly didn't get it back in the 70s. I didn't know about technocracy. I'd never heard of it before. The environmental movement was nothing back then. You know, if you were a green, and there were a few green movements back then, but they didn't amount to anything, and so, you know, who cares? Nobody really paid attention to them. But now looking back 40 years later to see what these people have done individually, by person, we can now see what they have done and see what their strategy was from the beginning. And it was to implement their new international economic order, they called it. That was a direct quote, new international economic order. The word new really meant new, and they had technocracy in mind. And the proof of that is in Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages. It was released in 1970. The subtitle to that book was America's Role in the Technotronic Era. I didn't really understand what technotronic meant back then. It was, okay, technology, it was computers coming on stream and, you know, whatever. But now looking back what I know about technocracy, I can see that book was a knockoff for technocracy doctrine from the 1930s. It's unmistakable. And so Brzezinski wrote this book and said, between today, then, 1970, and what comes in the future, we are between two ages. That's what the proposition was. This interim period that reigned from then until maybe right now is going to give way to a new era at the end of that, the technotronic era, which is, I believe, a synonym for technocracy era. And that's what we're looking at today, Dave. This is what they have done over the last 40 years. And in my book, by the way, I proved that, I think, quite conclusively.
Yes,
that it was them that pulled this off. They're behind Agenda 21. They're behind sustainable development. They're behind all of these other global, the global warming project and stuff. That's all members of the Trilateral Commission that have been huckster. They're like a bunch of hucksters at the carnival, the barkers. You know, you walk down the street, the aisle, and, hey, come over here, and, you know, sucker, get over here, and, you know, spend your dollar for three balls or something, you know. They're just hucksters, like Al Gore, for instance, who is a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's Mr. Sustainable Development himself now.
Who lives in a 10,000-square-foot home on the beach.
Oh, details. Yeah. Man, maybe really it's just a giant cruise ship and it's going to float when the seas rise. Did you ever think of that?
I better pick my feet up. It's getting really deep. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I look at this and I listen to Obama and his double speak. But I want to, you know, let's go down that road too, because when I got into the Gulf oil spill that had all kinds of nefarious turns and twists, and I started following the money that was involved in the use of Corexit, the two types of Corexit, which are banned in 17 countries, and the Corexit still being used today, and it's killing people. I trace this to an organization, and they weren't alone. They weren't alone with this. There are multiple organizations involved, but it was called the Joyce Foundation. Are you familiar with that organization?
You know, I'm not, Dave. I've heard of it before. I've had conversations with a couple of people I remember, but I'm not really up on it.
Well, let me trace this for you. Now, this is back when Barack Obama was still a state senator. When I uncovered, well, I didn't uncover the documentation then. I found it later in about 2011, a year after the Gulf oil explosion. But Obama, when he was a state senator, was a member. He was on the board of the Joyce Foundation, and all the heavyweights were on there. You had George Soros and Al Gore, had all your usual suspect for, you know, climate change proponents. And then in there you also had Valerie Jarrett, who was leading up the organization. She was the head of it. She was technically in charge of Obama. Well, what did the Joyce Foundation lead to? Well, they got an infusion of grants and money, and they are the ones that started the Chicago Climate Exchange.
Ah, yes.
And that's when I found that information in 2011, I said, bingo, that's why Obama's president, because they want him to usher this in. And do you remember when he first came in 2009, he tried to get the Senate to pass a resolution saying that we would cut back our energy use by 80% for every individual? Do you remember that?
Right. Yes, I do. I sure do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I think this man was made president.
He's the perfect empty suit to take instructions.
It was one of those moments. It was about a 2 a.m. epiphany when I found this. And it just floored me. But they were also involved in back funding to various groups that led to the use of this Corexit, which did not disperse any oil. It buried it down into the water column, and it would make the destruction to marine life a whole lot worse. And then it got into the transpiration cycle, and it's destroying the quality of life in the Gulf, and you don't hear a word about it. There's been plenty of research on it, but there's you don't get it in the mainstream media. But that was an interesting find for me with regard to Obama's role in this. And he is so cavalier. I mean, Pat, I know he's gotten documents from people that are signed by like 36,000 scientists that say climate change is unproven, this is voodoo, and they're just oblivious to this, and they offer no scientific proof.
They don't have any scientific proof, even though they swear that the science is settled. And you remember just, 4 months ago now, Al Gore publicly said, he took a shot at anybody who didn't believe the way he did and called everybody deniers.
Yes.
And he said deniers deserve to be punished. That's what he said. He used that word, punished.
Yeah. Well, you've got a professor, and his name jumps out of my head right now. He went a step further. He dovetailing on Al Gore, he said deniers should be put in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Climate deniers, like if you speak against climate change, that's an imprisonable offense. And I just, wow. You shake your head at this stuff, and all I can say is wow.
They have to bully. When you have no position, no technical position, if you will, you have to bully people. That's all that's left. And that just proves our point. The fact that they're bullying anybody proves that they cannot prove their point.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't.
Yeah,
and
bully they do. Sheila Zielinski is being pursued legally for her shows she's done against climate change. Anyway, Pat, we're coming up against the break. Sit tight. We'll be back in just a moment with our guest, Pat Wood. Well, I want to tell you about my friend Steve Quayle, who, by the way, will be back on the show in 2 weeks. Given the volatility of the events in September, we have Doug Hagman on next week and Steve Quayle on in 2 weeks to discuss the unfolding of these potential negative events. But Steve has a service and a product that he offers that I highly recommend, and I'm a satisfied customer. Steve is in the precious metals business, selling gold, silver, and other precious metals, and I would encourage you to visit Steve and give him a call tomorrow. He'll be back in town at 406-586-4842. That's Renaissance Precious Metals. My choice for the hedge against inflation or all-out economic collapse, because precious metals historically have held their value. Again, Steve's number is 406-586-4842. And it is a mission of Jim White, my partner on Red List News, that we are telling Americans, given the volatile times that we're in, I don't think you can be too safe, and we want everybody in the country, if they can possibly afford this, to have 2 years of stored food, at least a year. Our Mormon friends really have the right idea about preparedness, because unfortunately they went through some difficult times in the 19th century. They had to learn the hard way, and it's best to be prepared today than to be sorry tomorrow. And you can do that by visiting our friends and a sponsor of the show, foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And you can see the great, great product line they have there. It's reasonably priced. I've tested the food, eaten the food. It's good. And it's something that you can live on for a couple of years or longer if you need to. Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And I just mentioned my partner on the Red List News. Jim White. I would encourage you to visit our website, keep up with daily news. It's published 5 days a week with an extra session that we do with Mike Adams. Redlistnews.com is the place to go, and I republish all of those shows. They're only 15 minutes long on thecommonsenseshow.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter. And again, Bob Griswold, who is kind enough to join us in the first hour, his website again for reference is readymaderesources.com for all your survival needs. The phone number you can reach Bob at for another half hour, though I would say call him in the morning, 800-627-3809, because we've got a great guest, Pat Wood, and we're talking about the importance here of understanding who your enemy is. And Pat has left nothing to the imagination in his book, Technocracy Rising. And so, Pat, when we come back here, and we're officially back, I would like for you to tell people one more time, quickly, how they can get a copy of your book and follow your good work on your website. And then I want to get into, you know, one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on tonight, which is to talk about activism.
Exactly. technocracyrising.com is my book website, and people can find a lot of stuff there and some links, some videos, other good things. And in fact, there's just a Richard Grove interview series that was just released on tragedy and hope. You'll find some links to that around the internet. Just got released, I think, yesterday. And some excellent a 3.5-hour interview that he did with me here. Actually, he was here in town in Phoenix area. And that just got released. That's good. That's out. But people can also buy the book on Amazon. It's available there. There's a Kindle version as well. People like to read sometimes on their electronic devices. But the main thing is get the book any way, shape, or form you can. Get your hands on it and find out how to connect all the dots on what's going on today.
Yeah, that is so important to know what we're up against. And we're up against the wealthiest and probably the most immoral people on the planet who think nothing of death and destruction being thrown at the people so they can further their own ends. But, Pat, what I'm really concerned about here is many times on our show, and we get new listeners, and my website's averaging about 35 to 40% new audience every day, which is good. I'm glad to see new people coming in, but there's not enough. And my wife said the other day to me, she goes, "I think sometimes, honey, you spend too much time preaching to the choir." I'm hopeful that we get new people attracted to our radio show on a regular basis, but I know we have regular followers who just want to keep up on what's going on. But let's take these people who are intelligent, and this is my audience. They are intelligent, they're informed, they're involved to a large degree, but let's channel that energy and that knowledge, Pat. What can you tell my listening audience about what they should be doing to help reverse the course that we're on?
Wow. Can I be blunt?
Please. That's why I have you on, my friend.
This is, some people are not going to like what I'm about to say. We need activists, people who are willing to, if necessary, carry a picket in the hot summer or fall sun. We need people who will attend meetings of city councils, of zoning commissions, of water commissions, of school boards, to get in these people's faces and push them back. There are a small majority of people who are implementing this Agenda 21/Sustainable Development/Smart Grid, fill in the blanks. It's a very small number of people by percentage. But folks, if we the people don't push them back, do you think they're just going to walk away on their own? I don't think so. But here's what I find. We talk to people. I talk to people like you do, Dave. I'm on radio programs every week, probably, I don't know, 10 to 15 shows a week. I reach a lot of people. People listen to what I have to say. They nod their head in agreement. They walk away as if they had heard nothing. This is very discouraging, and this needs to stop. And I'll tell you, I think I know what's going on. The choir, so to speak, the people that kind of are the news junkies, you know, that follow folks like you and me, in the first place, probably, it becomes almost like a drug. where I'm going to get my news fixed today. I'm going to go out and find the scariest and the worst possible thing, you know, kind of like the haunted house on Halloween. I'm going to find the scariest thing I can find, and I'm going to go out and get my daily dose of news. I'm going to release a little dopamine in my brain because I get all fired up and the adrenaline flows. And then I turn the radio off, and now I'm ready for my day. I've had my coffee. I've had my news fixed. And now I'm ready to go off and do nothing for anybody else but just whatever my agenda is. And this becomes an addiction, I believe, Dave, to a lot of people. I think they're addicted to news, but they're absolutely sterile as far as doing anything is concerned. And I think this is why. I think they get a high out of listening to bad news, if you will, but they're just not motivated to do anything. They'd rather just stay kind of fat, dumb, and happy in that, you know, in that drunken stupor, if you will, rather than actually go out and do something constructive with their, you know, with their angst. This needs to change. And you and people like you and I need to figure out how to snap people out of this stupor and say, folks, don't even listen to me. If you're not willing to do something, don't even bother listening to me. You're doing us both a disservice. Anyway, that's kind of my pitch. I think
you're right. I do think there's a lot of people, though, who, well, news junkies means they want to be informed. That's what it says to me. Yes. But I also hear what you're saying on the other end of it, that there can be an addictive, you know, neurochemistry quality to it for some people. But I think there's a whole host of people in the middle, Pat, that don't like what's going on, but they feel overwhelmed and powerless about what to do about it, and they're looking for direction.
This can be changed, as you know. I've been working on this. You've been working on this. That's one of the reasons that that I helped to create the website, localactivist.net, to give a tool to people to get together with like-minded people in their own community and form a group and use the power of the internet to leverage their group to some kind of effective action in their local community, whatever that might be. I don't care what people do. They just need to do something in their local community rather than just sit back and watch the, you know, the clouds go by. There's always stuff going on. I haven't seen a community yet where there's not stuff going on that people are complaining about. Well, quit complaining about it. Go do something about it. Get your hands on these people. Go down and bug them in their offices. Get meetings with them. Go in and talk to them. Give them copies of Technocracy Rising. I don't know, whatever. You know, get in there and mix it up with them and say, we're not going to take this anymore. This is not American. This is absolutely antithetical to our Constitution. And we are not going to allow you to further destroy our nation, period. You leave them alone, they're going to do it. If you just leave them alone, they will continue the destruction of the fabric of America.
There's nothing to deter them. So why shouldn't they? Let me tell you how I think they've accelerated their plan. There's a guy named Mike Kruglick, and I'm not sure about his pronunciation, Kruglik. And he was Obama's mentor when Obama was a community activist, the closest thing he's had to ever having a real job. And Kruglick, he's visited the White House several times, and he's the head of a group called Build One America, which is basically bringing Agenda 21 taxation principles of redistribution across county lines to places like Minneapolis and San Francisco and New York. And he has a website out there, and this is getting to the point, 2050.org, America2050.org. And he says by 2050, he has all these diagrams. We'll have the bullet trains. We'll have all this stuff. We'll be in 11 mega regions, metropolitan regions of 6 million people each. But it's 2050. And now we're seeing this new agenda that's being championed to save the planet as 2030 agenda. Mm-hmm. Are they accelerating what they're doing?
I don't think, I wouldn't say that the America 2050 site is going to be obsolete necessarily, but it depends upon sustainable development being successfully implemented all over the world. If anything, the 2030 agenda is going to bail out groups like America 2050. And, you know, the idea of mega regions and so on, that's been around for quite some time, as you know, as part of the Agenda 20, or as kind of an ancillary to the Agenda 21 program. And, you know, they've got it, I'll tell you, they got it all architected. You look at a site like that and you say, well, you know, somebody put a lot of time into thinking this through. There's a lot of artwork, there's a lot of articles, there's a lot of diagrams and, you know, structure and stuff. These guys they're not playing around, so to speak, just goofing around with a, you know, pen and some quadro paper. They got big bucks behind them. They got big people behind them. And they're dead serious about doing it. You know, Hitler wrote the book Mein Kampf before he conquered Europe,
right,
or tried to. And nobody paid attention to his book. He told them exactly what he was going to do. Nobody listens. Oh, it can't be. He can't be serious, can he? I don't believe that. He's just a wimp.
Speaking of America2050.org, 11 mega regions, mm-hmm, with 6 million people each. Now, that's what's on this website. This man basically serves as an advisor to the president on Agenda 21 issues. That's 66 total million people, Pat.
That's right.
Where the heck are the other 250 million people going to be?
It doesn't say, does it? It's a very curious absence. And, you know, this whole push by the original Agenda 21 document for population reduction, they never really say how they're going to get the population down. And, they're not going to go out and necessarily gas everybody. But the programs that are in place in the last 40 years to reduce population around the world they've had a huge effect. And even in America, where how many babies have been aborted in the last 40 years, Dave? 45 million?
No, I think it's closer to 60. It's over 60.
Let's say
60 million.
Let's split the difference. 55 million people that would be here, that would be paying into Social Security for people like you and me to retire on, that's a greater genocide than anything we've seen in history in the last 150 years. Mm-hmm. That's more people than Stalin killed. It's more people than Stalin, Lenin, Hitler, and Pol Pot killed combined. And we've done it. You know, same thing happened in China. You've got the whole one child left behind policy. That's not the only thing. But, you know, population has been suppressed greatly so for the last 50 years. And they're still pushing for that kind of reduction. And I don't care how much they say they're going to eliminate poverty and they're going to eliminate disease and all this other stuff. Nonsense. They're not actively trying to increase the population at all.
Well, when you look at Obamacare, there's no question with the death panel. Sarah Palin was right. What I discovered, actually through my own doctor, he told me when we were discussing Obamacare and how he's thinking about leaving medicine and tending bar and ski resort at Breckenridge, Colorado. And he said to me that if you are 70 years of age on your birthday and I find an aneurysm in your brain, you can get surgery, corrective surgery. If you're 70 years and one day, they give you pain medication and send you home to die. That's depopulation, Pat.
It is. Yep. Nobody, I've never talked to anybody who believed that Obamacare was about your health. I haven't talked to one person. Not one.
Well, it was supposed to be, well, we're just going to make sure no one dies from a lack of medical attention and the rest of us will pay a little more money. And there's 50,000 people that die a year. But what it ended up being, it's managed care on steroids.
It is. And it certainly doesn't have anything to do with a healthy population. I personally, I think we've discussed this before, but I honestly think that the big takeaway, the big payoff for Obamacare is data. They're getting data on everybody.
True.
To put into a national database so that they can implement their system of technocracy, which requires monitoring of the system down to, you know, how many times you go to the bathroom every day. It's really pathetic, but I think this is about the data that's being collected. There's just no end to it. And you couple that with what you have, all the data is being collected in Common Core. You couple that with all the phone calls, all the email, everything else like that's just being public stuff, all the stuff off of social media about you and me that's being collected and put into a master database. All this stuff is going into a master data file on you and me individually, where they can then mine that data to figure out how to engineer, how to micro-engineer segments of society any way, shape, or form that they desire. It's about the data.
I'm a little more paranoid than that, Pat, because I also know that they're, courtesy of the NSA and the so-called war on terrorism, they're data mining every communication we have.
Well, they are. And that's part of it. When you add
this to the everything that you just mentioned, I think they're creating a naughty and nice list.
Well, of course.
Suitability. Who's fit to live in the New World Order? And then you have to start asking yourself, and this is what brings on what we're called the independent media's paranoid conspiracy theorists, because once you realize this is what they're doing, that their intent is clear depopulation, and they tell you all through their documents their goal is to depopulate the planet by 90%, then you have to start looking for methods. How are they trying to achieve it? And so let's go back to what you wrote about with technocracy. How does technocracy contribute to depopulation?
Well, look, technocracy was originally designed as an economic replacement system for capitalism. It was based on balance, on the concept of sustainable development was all through the early technocracy movement. They wanted to balance the use of resources from the earth against the people on the earth. And there's only two ways to balance those resources. Well, maybe three. One is you can cut down on consumption. You can force people to consume less. Now, if you have 8 billion people in the world and they're consuming too much, you could say, well, let's just force all 8 billion people to use 40% less resources. That might put everything in balance. Of course, we'll all be living back, you know, like in the 1850s again. Right. But that would be balance. Another way to get balance is to take the existing population and shrink it. And this is how they come up with this less than the sub 1 billion number. Is that they say, if you want to maintain the current lifestyle that you have, then there's only enough resources to sustain like maybe 600 to 700 million people. That's where this population reduction thing comes in, is balance. Well, whose back are they going to balance this on? They're going to balance it on our back. And so, you know, the push has been to, you know, to cause population to shrink backwards to put things into balance. And the United Nations, with their push for sustainable development, is just flat out going to tell people, you stop consuming as much as you're consuming, period. They'll tell you how much to consume. It's not going to be voluntary for you to make that decision. They're going to tell you how much you consume. And if you consume too much, you'll be punished.
Pat, they're inefficient. The best way to lower the population growth curve is to industrialize a country. That's the best way. That's what sociology teaches. It's what history shows. And they want to take away the very thing that would give them, you know, basically, well, when you industrialize, and I've been reading a lot about this, you know, you basically are at 1.8 reproduction rate. You very rarely get to 2.1, which is what you need to maintain. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking away the very thing through these illegitimate, poorly researched programs, mm-hmm, by taking away energy, and they're deindustrializing the world. Well, the third world multiplies like rabbits.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy. So I have to look at other things that they're going to do. So this is where I get suspicious, like GMOs. Gee, we're not allowed to read what's in the labels. Well, does that mean it's harmful? Because usually when someone hides something from you, it's bad.
Yeah. You're
so
right.
This is where I put on my tinfoil hat, and I start looking at adjuvants and vaccines. Why are we finding aluminum in these vaccines? why are we going vaccine crazy? And I don't mean to just dwell on the vaccines. I'm just using this as one illustration. And then you have to say, if their agenda is depopulation and this is what they're after, and they're not doing it through what we'd call normal means by raising standard of living through industrialization, they got to be doing something else to bring the population down.
Well, and they are. We know that they're turning our country into a third world country right now.
That's true.
The middle class is disintegrating right under our nose. The rise of the ultra poor in our country is just stunning right now. When I say ultra poor, those are people that live on $2 a day or less. It's just shocking that we would have even one person in our country that fell into that category. But, you know, since Obama's taken power and implemented all these policies, he did it in the name that he's going to make everything better. Oh, we're going to have better jobs. Oh, we're going to have, you know, we need these trade agreements. We need more good jobs coming into America. Well, okay, tell that to all the people that lost their job and now have to work at a $12 an hour job, three jobs just to make up 40 hours, and they still have no benefits.
Yeah, I remember when George Bush was caught on camera, and he said, "Oh, you have three jobs, ma'am? Well, how uniquely American is that?"
Yeah.
That was a quote. That's a George Bush quote.
Yeah.
But he knew the agenda and wasn't smart enough to couch it in a proper way.
Yeah.
But this is what we're looking at. So let's go back to the activist argument again.
Yep.
What's the first step people can do? They can visit the website you've created, and give that website out again.
It's localactivist.net. No hyphen, just localactivist.net.
Okay, so they go to the site, they look at these wonderful things that you have up there, and they're like deer in the headlight. And I don't think this describes most people in my audience. But what's the first thing someone could do? Just the very first thing, easy. Just put one foot in front of the other and do something.
Absolutely. First thing they need to do is find an issue that interests them. Not all issues are going to interest all people. Hey, got young kids? Got kids in school? Go after Common Core. Well, how about if you own some property? You own a house, maybe you own a lot down, you know, whatever in town, a little office building or something. Get after land use issues. There's tons of them around. Or maybe you're concerned about the general plan that's being implemented in your city to force bike trails and walking, you know, areas and stuff where you can't take cars, that sort of stuff, and you see that that's just dumb, that's a great issue to get a hold of. There's no shortage of issues. Pick an issue that makes some sense. Second, find some people that are willing to talk to you about it and start talking to them.
How would you recommend engaging these people who are decision makers?
Most people tell me that they don't know what to do. And I believe that. You know, maybe they want to do something, but they don't know what to do. On localactivist.net, we're trying to give people tools that can help them to actually do what they need to do. That's why we're creating an activist cookbook, for instance. That I just use that name loosely, activist cookbook, right? We're going to try and tell people exactly how to do stuff. Once they have an idea, you know, easy stuff. How to write a press release. How to get on a radio program. You know, how to conduct a meeting or how to break up a meeting if it's the wrong kind of meeting. You know, things like how to build a coalition with other people that, you know, may not be exactly like you. All kinds of topics and stuff that we're building into this activist cookbook to help people get on it. We're also providing training now through another organization called solutionsinstitute.org, a group of young people doing a great job at training activists on how to do it. Hands-on stuff from people who have been there, done that, and they're telling you, they're giving you consulting and coaching to you know, really get you moving in the right direction. So we've got training, we've got resources, we've got ideas, and basically if you don't know what to do now, there's no excuse, because we can tell you what to do and give you successful techniques that have worked for others.
I'm inspired. In fact, you know, as you were speaking about this, and we'll go back to our local roots since we're both living in Arizona, but the Arizona Breakfast Club, which is being managed now by our friend Ernie Hancock, I mean, that's where you put me in the mind of. They do a wonderful job, of being active and putting people and getting them involved in causes. And I would encourage people to visit freedomsphoenix.com, and just like it sounds, freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and look at all the groups that Ernie Hancock has put together on this, and you could use the principles that Pat's putting forward. So Pat, let's go out and give out those two websites again, because you added a second one to the mix with regard to activism.
Yeah, the link for the actual hands-on training is on localactivist.net.
That's right. Okay.
So I won't confuse people with it, but if they get to localactivist.net, that will be a start. This is a member-supported site, no advertisements whatsoever on it. It's completely encrypted. That is the same type of encryption you use when you give your credit card on an e-commerce site. So nobody's going to see what you're talking about. Nobody's going to be able to snoop and find out what you're doing. Your plans will be secret just between you and the people in your group. This is the way it needs to be, by the way. We're way too blabby around the country. I put everything on Facebook, for crying out loud. Of course they know what you're doing because they monitor Facebook and they monitor Twitter. You don't tell your enemy what your plans are until you've actually gone out and done something, you know? Then you can tell them. After you beat the crud out of them, then you can tell them what you did. But we need to keep our mouths shut. We need to be very discreet in our communications when we're doing stuff in our local community.
Pat, we got about 30 seconds. I wanted to ask you this one question. Is there one thing that you would point to that people could do from a civil disobedience point of view that would stop this in its tracks?
Not one thing. I can't.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm thinking about a Boston Tea Party kind of episode, and you know, just something that we could do. But you know, we need to visit the websites that Pat has mentioned here. And again, Pat, again, give out the site where people can go and buy your book.
Sure, it's technocracyrising.com, okay. And of course Amazon.com too.
Well, Pat, continue good luck with your book sales. I know it's doing a lot of good. We just got to increase the amount of people that are reading it. And I want to thank you for coming on our show, and I'm looking forward to the next time that you're on.
Absolutely, Dave. I appreciate every opportunity.
Okay. Pat Wood, ladies and gentlemen, technocracyrising.com. Anyway, we're going to step aside for our top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our health reporter, Katie, followed by my friend Ted Brower from healthmasters.com at the bottom of the hour.
And in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.